We're continuing Eicha. We're up to the first chapter, the 12th pasuk. Lo aleichem kol overei derech habitu im yesh machov kemachovi asher olal lim. The people of Israel turn and says to the rest of the world, Lo aleichem kol overei derech. I don't wish upon you, all you people who are passing by my city, you should never have such a destruction. And I swear, have you ever seen a pain like mine? Have you ever seen a people suffering like my people? Have you ever seen people being treated as badly as we have been? Asher olal li, the way I have been treated. Asher hoga Adonai beyom charon apo. The pain, the suffering that Hashem wrought out on the day of Hashem's anger. And notice that the word hoga goes back to betuloteha nugot. That same root is repeating itself over and over again. Of nugot, like yagon, suffering. That's the word that's being repeated throughout the chapter. So there might be a play on words over here. Says that everyone wondered why did we have such a terrible destruction? This was asked to the prophets, this was asked to the angels, this was asked to the wise men. No one knew why, until finally Hashem came and said, "Alozvam et Torati," because they left my Torah. So what is the term of learning Torah? Vehagita bo yomam v'layla. And it could be that there's this play on words that we weren't hagita bo yomam v'layla. We weren't learning the way we should, and so hoga Hashem. Sent us this suffering, a different use of the word hagita, that's the term of yagon, of suffering.
Where's the hagita book?
That's a pasuk in Yoshua.
You said that it wasn't obvious to anybody until Hashem came. Really? Like, even the angels?
That's what the Gemara says, yeah.
I mean, it sounds pretty horrible, like reading some of the descriptions of what, like, idol worship and things. And
right.
Like, you didn't.
So everyone asks, it says we had those three sins, right? Avodah Zarah, Gilei Arayos, Shfichas Dam, and we're doing the big three. So the answer that's given, it's quoted in Halacha, is that had we been learning Torah the way we should, then the merit of Torah would have protected us in spite of those sins. Meaning, those sins were not enough to bring the destruction. As bad as those sins are, if you have Torah the way you should, among the people, then the people don't suffer that kind of destruction. It wouldn't have played itself out this way.
You're saying they would have been doing the big three.
Right, but maybe it's not talking about the same people who were. Meaning, maybe it's talking about among Klal Yisrael, even those that were learning Torah, their merits wouldn't protect Am Yisrael as a people. We're talking about as a people. You're saying, how could you be learning Torah if one's committing all three? So I'm saying maybe the idea is not so much that same person who wasn't learning Torah was committing it, but we were judged
people,
as the people.
When the people were doing the big three.
You had the big three, and you didn't have the merits to counter that because we weren't learning Torah with the proper intent. Meaning there was Torah learning, but it was approached without the blessing of Torah, without the appreciation, without the correct approach to the Torah. So yes, there was great Torah knowledge, and there were the people learning Torah. But even the people learning Torah weren't where they should be. Remind me, we'll check.
Was the Torah learning then, would we not say it was on a much higher level than it is today?
Maybe. In certain respects, in Torah knowledge, but not necessarily in approach.
Okay, in approach, are we in a similar situation?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think we're better off.
Wasn't that going to go against to say, yeah. Like,
I'm listening.
The first chapter, that somebody gets them to represent for hypocrisy, like, as far as he is, it's more talking about sacrifices, like doing sins and casually offering sacrifices, no? And so they learn to say that we could have learned Torah and then also done sins, wouldn't that be also kind of hypocrisy? Like, we're learning not to do these things.
Okay.
And that's protecting us, giving us merit against the destruction and the punishment for doing it. But it seems kind of against
the
spirit of
the Israel. I think they're talking about different parts of the population.
Right.
I think that if the lowest part is low, then if the highest part can get up high enough to interact, to counteract, then maybe you'll have a lesser destruction.
But do we have that?
Okay.
No, we have people who are learning Torah in the...
Okay.
I mean, right now what's going on with the Plessner Committee and
killing each other.
Yeah, but
yeah,
no, we're not killing each other.
What?
But there's still a lot.
Yeah. What to do?
Yeah.
All right. One second. I'm not finding it. Meaning, so far it's not. I have to find it. So I have to find it, but I think that's what it says.
Like this is a cinnamon paste. Mm-hmm. They'd have to have machines to
jewelry paste.
Yeah. How about pizza will go up?
I already have the
machines. Oh, okay.
Okay. I'll look it up. We could look it up if you want me. It'll take me another minute. I'll look.
But it's that's all I remember. It comes out.
I'm a little bit interested in the concept. So
what?
If you don't mind, Rob, I'd be interested.
Okay.
If you go into it more.
If we already went off on this tangent,
so we'll go from the Gemara to the Mishnah to the Shulchan. So the Gemara Nedarim says as follows. The Gemara asks, why is it that Talmidei Chachamim don't frequently have children who are Talmidei Chachamim? You would expect it should be a natural sequence. So, the Gemara says as follows. I want to start a few lines earlier. The Gemara is quoting a quote from Shmuel. We'll just read that because that's an important quote. Hizahu bivnei aniyim, be careful with the children of the poor. Don't think, why should I bother teaching him Torah? He doesn't pay full tuition. No, be careful with the children of the poor. Shemehin tetze Torah, because the Torah will ultimately come out of them, out of the children of the poor. Shenemar, what? That the Amora Shmuel said. The Gemara is quoting the Amora Shmuel, who said this. Shenemar, as the verse says, Yizalmai midalyav. He will pour water. So the Gemara understands midalyav, not from what he drew, masher dala, but rather midalya, midal, from the poor of Am Yisrael. That's where the water will pour out of. שמהן תצא תורה. ומפני מה אין מצויים תלמידי חכמים לצאת מבניהם תלמידי חכמים? Why is it that you don't find that it's not common that תלמידי חכמים's own children are תלמידי חכמים? אמר רב יוסף שלא ימו תורה ירושי. רב יוסף says, Hashem made it so that it's uncommon that their children will succeed so that people won't think you have to inherit Torah. Everyone who wants to can grow in Torah. You don't need a father who's a Talmud Chacham. So Hashem made it that it's much harder for the son of a Talmud Chacham to succeed in Torah. Rav Sheshet Breid Ravidi Amar Kedei Shelo Yitgadru Al HaTzibur. He says the idea is that Hashem didn't want them to take control of people. That people will say, well, my father was chief rabbi, my grandfather was chief rabbi, so no one's going to move me from my bench. Now, there was a justice here in Israel who said that when Friedman tried to make changes in the justice system. So Beinish got up and said, my father sat on this bench and I'm sitting on this bench and no one's going to move me from this bench. Not even embarrassed to talk that way. So at any rate, Chazal saw it that Hashem made it, that Talmidei Chachamim's own children will rarely be up to par with their parents because Hashem didn't want the leadership to be inherited. Ravashi amar mishum dekaru le'in sheichamre. Ravashi says, because the kids, when they see other people, they say, oh, they're donkeys. They don't honor other people because they think, oh, my father's chief rabbi, so what are they next to me? So that's why they never succeed in Torah. Ravina omer, shen mevachin batorah tchila. Ravina says, you know why the children aren't talmidei chachamim? Because they don't make a blessing on Torah before they learn it. The Torah is just there for them. It's not something they bless on.
It's one of the reasons for the destruction of the temple.
Oh, so that's the next, that's what we're leading into. Damar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Maidichtiv meish shechacham yaven zot. The prophet Jeremiah, what's he talking about? He's talking about the destruction of the first temple. The wise men were asked, ולנביאים, and to the prophets, ולא פירשוה. They didn't explain. עד שפירשה הקדוש ברוך הוא בעצמו, till Hashem himself came and explained. דכתיב היומר Hashem, Hashem said, על עוזבם את תורתי. They left my Torah, they turned their back on it, and they didn't listen to me. So the Gemara asks, "Hainu lo shamu b'kuli, hainu lo halchu ba." Isn't it identical what the verse says? It says they left my Torah, they didn't listen to me, they didn't go in its way. Isn't that all the same? So the Gemara answers, "Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, shen mevachim b'Torah tchila." They're not learning Torah after a blessing; they're just continuing afterwards. And so, if they don't bless on the Torah before they learn, they don't get the blessing of the Torah, which is that the Torah will continue within their family. So that's the Gemara. So the simple reading of the Gemara is that it's talking about the destruction of the first temple, because we're quoting from the prophet Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was talking about the destruction of the first temple. So that's the simple reading. So I think it's the Taz that asks, the Bach says, the Bach on the tour says, that if you don't make the blessing, you don't get the special merits that the Torah protects. And I think maybe it's the Taz on the Shulchan Aruch that gives the explanation I gave earlier, that they had the sins, but the merits should have protected them. So let's see. That's over here in the Shulchan Aruch Simen Mem Zayin. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Birchas HaTorah Tzarech Lizer Bam Meod. You have to be very careful about Birchas HaTorah. So the Taz asks what you guys asked. He says, what do you mean they asked why is the land being destroyed? So the Taz says what they're asking is, what happened now? We've been having the three biggies for a long time. Why in this generation was the temple destroyed? Why was that the time when it was destroyed? And then he answers that answer that I said, that the Torah of those learning Torah until that generation protected them, and then that generation where they stopped making a blessing on the Torah, their approach to Torah was warped. That's why those sins came back to haunt them.
Yeah, wasn't those people who had been learning Torah were showing the senses that they were protecting those who were the majority of the population?
I don't know how to read that in the Taz.
But by that, do you mean it might be the case or it's not? Or you don't
think that's not the way I remember it, but let's see. says the Torah protected them. I always understood it the way I said. That's the way I understood it, and that's also maybe the way the Mishnah Brura understood the Taz. I don't remember, but that it was the people as a whole. Not that the same people were learning Torah and committing the big three. But I'm not sure if I'm right, because he quotes the Gemara in Sota, that the Gemara in Sota says that Torah protects. And the Gemara in Sota is talking about the individual who learns Torah, that the Torah protects him and helps him from his own individual sins. So my interpretation that we're talking about the people at large doesn't exactly fit with the quote he's quoting from the Gemara in Sota. So that's, I'm not sure.
You're saying the Gemara in Sota seems to indicate that people who haven't learned Torah at that point have been committing those sins, but they have been learning Torah with the right purpose and have been protecting people as a whole. And then
no, the Gemara in Sota speaks about an individual. It's talking about a person who commits adultery. And the Gemara in Sota discusses that even a woman who committed adultery, if she has the merit of learning Torah, then she can be protected based on that merit. So the Gemara over there discusses how the merit of learning Torah can protect the person even from the worst sin, even after they committed the worst sin. So there the Gemara is talking about the same person learning Torah, that same woman who committed adultery also learns Torah. So that's why my interpretation of the Taz doesn't necessarily hold water. Now, I don't think I made it up. I think the Achronim, when they quote the Taz, quote the interpretation. But I have to look. Meaning off the cuff, I'm not sure.
The Taz?
The Taz is on the Shulchan Aruch, Simen Mem Zayin, the first Taz.
Taz?
Taz is Turei Zav. It's an acronym for Turei Zav. That's the name of the commentary. Turei Zav.
Hmm?
We should see if you want to see if the room's available.
It sounds like the tour.
Okay. The tour is a different book written by the...
It's not the same.
Not the same author, no. Century and a half, 2.5 centuries between them, yeah. This is Turei Zahav, and this is the Arba'a Turim.
So, did I not understand this Ayah, like the opening chapter or two, where Asim seems... I always understood Asim was set with Am Yisrael for acting, like committing sins, and feeling that they could just freely commit sins as long as they bring a sacrifice.
That's also true.
So, it doesn't seem for me.
What about all the doers?
Okay, I can understand it. It's the interpretation that it's a group of righteous people who are learning Torah properly that are, you know, their merit is protecting the nation from punishment. But if it's people who are doing those sins and learning Torah, which teaches them not to do those sins, and learning not to do what they're doing protects them, I just find that even harder even than animal sacrifices.
I don't
know. The Gemara in Sota says, we all know what we want to be. But we all know we have moments where we do foolish things. So it's not necessarily a contradiction. We're human beings. We learn Torah, we mean to keep the Torah, and then we have moments of weakness, and sometimes we have areas of weakness. That doesn't mean a person is an overall hypocrite. We all have those areas of hypocrisy within our personality. We're not 100%. The ideal is 100%, and we sometimes value and believe in the ideal, and still we don't live up to it. But that doesn't make us into hypocrites.
I have an even bigger question.